as I read the filing for the injunction, it seems to me they made three main arguments. The first was based on Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution and an appeals court ruling that they say makes it clear a plurality, not a majority, is what's meant by the wording, "The House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the several states."
Yeah, so Article 1, Section 2 lays out the qualifications of who's eligible to serve in the House of Representatives. It says nothing about how those people are chosen. And it's interesting that, the case that Representative Poliquin chose to cite is about a challenge to a plurality requirement in New York. So basically voters said, you have to have a majority for the Senate under the 17th Amendment. The Court of Appeals there said, no, plurality is just fine. You don't need a majority. And in fact, I believe some states actually still continue to use runoffs for House elections as well. And part of the idea behind Article 1, Section 2 and much of the Constitution is to leave the discretion for how to conduct those elections to the states.
Their second argument is grounded in the 14th Amendment. And they say since not everyone may have marked more than one choice on their ballots, it's possible that some voters' votes won't be counted in a ranked choice tally, while others will be, which they claim would violate the Equal Protection Clause in the 14th Amendment.
Right. And that's an argument that has been tried in other jurisdictions where ranked choice voting has been tried. I mean, the most famous case is out of the Ninth Circuit, where the court said this is just wrong because every voter has an equal vote. Every voter has an equal opportunity to rank as many candidates as they choose to rank. And that's true with many other methods of election, right? So if you have a cumulative voting system, which some jurisdictions have tried, where you can sign your vote and you have maybe 10 votes and you can distribute them to various candidates. Somebody might choose to distribute all of their vote to one person. Some may choose to spread it. In a runoff election, like we're going to see in Mississippi for the Senate, some voters may choose not to even show up the second day, and some will. So some voters chose to vote twice in this election. Some will only vote in one round. So with many methods of voting, there is, as long as everybody has an equal opportunity to vote, there's no requirement that every single person cast kind of the same vote.
Their third argument is based on the Voting Rights Act, which says that voters need to be clear about their choices, and they would argue that a ranked choice ballot by its nature fails to provide such clarity because of the various possible matchups that may ultimately occur in the counting.
Claim 2 and Claim 3 make the same kind of lack of access to information, difficult to know, confusing ballot. You know, that's an issue where discretion is left to the court to decide, is this ballot so confusing, so unclear, that really no reasonable voter could have understood it? You know, I look at the ballots, I don't believe that's true. But of course, that's a judgment call. What I think is the best comparison is to look at what other kinds of elections have been going on in the country that have been upheld, right? Sometimes the ballot will say, you can vote for up to four people. And that's what voters do. So I don't see ranked choice voting as inherently confusing. It has certainly been tried in other states, in other jurisdictions. None of those courts have ever held it to violate that kind of First Amendment Voting Rights Act principle. Could a court find that to be the case? I think it's in theory plausible, but given the amount of precedent and history that there is now showing that this is not a ballot that's too confusing, and the kinds of various voting methods that jurisdictions throughout the United States have tried that are much less clear, I don't see that as the winning argument.